All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our April FNC office hours with our presenter, Valerie Mill. Super excited to have Valerie with us. She's one of our fantastic ERC coaches, and many of you know her and have had the pleasure of interacting with her. I'm super excited to have her today. She is presenting. Her topic today is the stress reset. So couldn't be more apropos topic for what's going on in the world right now. So we're so happy to have you here. Valerie, I'll let you take over.
All right. Greetings, everyone, in your individual time zones, because I get that mixed up. But I am going to share my screen. And while it is coming up, I want to share a little story with you. This morning, I woke up because I saw a flashing light on my wall, blue light. Normally, I turn my Wi-Fi off at night, but I had left it on because my little nephew was here, and I fell asleep before he did. So I woke up this morning around 1 o'clock because of this flashing light. So here I am, and we have no phone, and we have no internet, and I have a presentation today. I'm like, that is so timely when I'm going to be talking about the stress reset. So stress is everywhere. And as you will find as I go through this presentation, that our response really helps us to get through whatever events occur. So we are going to get through this and we're going to be de-stressed as much as possible. So I want to share with you, as a young girl, I remember waking up in the middle of the night with blood on me simply because I scratched so badly because of having eczema. I was itching so much, and the only thing that I could do to relieve it was to scratch. I remember having my hands wrapped. I remember putting my hand under the water as hot as I could get it just to get a little bit of relief from the itch. I remember turning the eye of the stove on to put my hand over the stove so that the heat would subside the itching for just a little bit. And that was, to me, was a stressor. I never really understood why my body expressed having eczema to the degree that it did. I was told by my parents that the doctor said it was the worst case at that time that they had ever seen. My hair had come out. I used to call myself a little monkey because my skin was so dark and wrinkled and weepy. And as I got older, the doctor said that I would grow out of it, but that didn't happen. As I grew, it worsened. And I went through the situation of having my peers call me names, make fun of me because of the way I looked. So along having that experience, I've never considered myself to be an angry person, but in my own research and my own healing process, I learned that my skin issue that I was experienced, it was deeper than a skin issue. So my journey to help my body to heal, I had to go deeper than what my skin was expressing. And that's how I came up with the stress reset. So we're going to talk about stress today. It's going to be a fun way to talk about stress. And as you see on here, this is the Starship Enterprise from Star Trek. So the stress reset is all about releasing events, snatching energy and talent. And before we get started, I want to just go ahead and give you the medical disclaimer. The information in this presentation is not intended to take the place of a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it is not intended as medical advice. It is intended to educate and empower you to make more informed decisions regarding your health and well-being. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the research and experience of Valerie A. Mills and the experts who have contributed. We always encourage you to make your own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. So stress, I call it the chronic frontier. It's an unending mission to invite fight and flight, sabotage your rest and digest, stir up fear, worry, and anxiety, explore new ways to bring on dis-ease labels, to seek out new ways to invoke imbalance, to boldly go where no other has gone before. So to help us with this chronic frontier of stress, we have the Stress Reset Enterprise that is going to take us on our journey today. So you're in the right place if you have been feeling exhausted or have brain burnout. You're in the right place if you think your brain has too many tabs open. You're in the right place if any of this is applicable to you. Stress, weight resistance, weight loss resistance, sadness, noise, family, and even at this time, because we are all in the same situation, the restriction of social distancing. There may be people in your home that you're not accustomed to being at home with, and that can be a stressor. So you're in the right place if you're not sure what's next. You have on here, we have the COVID-19 that is on here. Reality, how close it is versus to what we are already experiencing at our homes. What's going to happen next? We don't know which way we're going to go. It may have already interrupted our sleep or some other activities that we've been involved in. So what we're not sure what's next. And you're in the right place if you ever needed to log into Zoom and you could not get logged on for whatever reason. So stress, there's a three-10-year studies that concluded that emotional stress was more predictive of death from cancer and cardiovascular disease than smoking. And this is from the British Journal of Medicine of Psychology. And people who were unable to effectively manage stress had a 40% higher death rate than non-stressed individuals. So what we're going to learn today, we're going to learn what stress is. We're going to talk about types of stress, how stress affects your body and well-being. We're going to talk about the stress reset system. And then we're going to talk about how to de-stress. So let's get started. So let's talk about what is stress. So stress is medically proven to contribute to disease processes. Heart disease, strokes, high blood pressure, colitis, irritability, rheumatism, depression, migraines, diabetes, hardening of the arteries, insomnia, fatigue, sex problems, skin diseases, allergies, overeating, asthma, kidney disorders, ulcers, breathing problems, and increased smoking. All of these things have been medically proven that stress contributes to each of them. So this is a little clip that I found that stress is the portrait of a killer. And we can actually call it the silent killer because we don't always know the extent of stress that's taking place within our bodies. So what is stress? According to Merriam-Webster, stress is defined as a state of mental tension that leads to strong feelings of worry and anxiety, and it's caused by issues in your life, your work, your family, or other things. So I like words, and so the original definition of stress comes from the Middle English, and it means obstacle or to impede or stand against. So an obstacle is a barrier or a hurdle. Obstacles are frightful things you see when you take your eyes off of your goal. That's by Henry Ford. According to the Institute of Heart Math, stress is a term used to describe the wear and the tear the body experiences in reaction to everyday tension and pressures. So let's talk a little bit about the activation of the stress system. So you have an event that occurs, and there is a little place in our brain called the amygdala. It houses our emotions. And when that is triggered because of an event, it signals the hypothalamus to communicate with the nerve impulses and the spinal cord to notify the adrenal glands to secrete our hormones, our cortisol. And what happens is these catecholamines go through the blood vessels and they affect our organ system. It can show up as an increased heart rate. It causes our liver to convert glycogen to glucose for fast energy. It can cause a decrease in our digestive system activity. It can even cause our blood pressure to rise, and it can even cause dilation of our bronchioles. It can lead to having shortness of breath. So whenever there is an event, this system, this stress system is triggered. So when the event occurs, our body decides, is it going to be a fight or a flight situation? Are we going to stand here and handle it, or are we going to run? So again, some of the things with the fight or the flight, because it is our body and mind's response to any pressure that disrupts or threatens to disrupt its normal balance, we can have the effect on any of our body systems. Again, it's going to signal our brain. It can affect our eyes. We can see only tonal vision, sight. It can affect how we hear or not hear. It can affect our breathing. Our muscles can tense up. Our bladder can relax, so we can start to shake. So these are just some of the things that can happen with a fight or flight response. So again, when this stress response system is activated, it can be expressed through our body, our mind. It can be expressed through our emotions or even our behavior. So it can be expressed as any of these things here: migraines, pain, sleep disorders, chronic illness, a disability, soreness, taut muscles, fatigue, again, weakness or skin conditions, digestive issues. It can be expressed as worry or even panic attack, anxiety attack, having nightmares, having challenges making decisions, muddled thinking, brain fog, negativity. With our emotions, it can be expressed as a loss of confidence, irritability, depression, hopelessness, loneliness, apprehension, anger, or apathy. And it can cause us to behave different. We can have a loss of appetite or a loss of desire. Some people may tend to go to substances to help them to relieve their stress. There may be a lashing out of violence or clumsiness, or some people may tend to want to self-harm. Again, trouble sleeping or hoarding things, not letting things be put away, or just alienate themselves and having abandonment issues because of these things and how it affects our body, our emotions, our behavior, and our mind. The stress system, when it's activated, affects us in many ways. Stress can impact our relationships. It can affect our health and our enjoyment. It's like a fire alarm. It's just ringing the bell because it is not the balance that our bodies and our total being is accustomed to. It's just not there. So again, what is stress? According to the National Mental Health Association, stress is hard to define because it means different things to different people. However, it's clear that most stress is a negative feeling rather than a positive feeling. So that said, let's talk about some types of stress. Now, depending on what you're looking at, the stress is in various categories, but we're going to just talk about stress as a good stress or a bad stress. And you can even have what is called no stress, where you just are lethargic, dull, unenthusiastic, no excitement, no stimuli, whatever. Or you can be in the middle, eustress, where you have good stress, where there's a lot of energy, success, and positive things going on. Or you can have distress, where you look like Scrooge, where there's disappointment, where there's always something threatening, where there you may have embarrassment or things, you feel things are failures to you. So those are some distress things. So I want to just make a little more clear about the eustress and the distress. Eustress, good stress, is positive stress, and it occurs when your level of stress is high enough to motivate you to move into action to get things accomplished. So not all stress is bad, because stress can motivate us to get things done. On the other hand, there is the distress, where that is negative, where when your level of stress is either too high or too low, and your body and or your mind begins to respond negatively to the stressors. So here you have Donald Duck wanting to crash the computer. A little bit more about stress and the curve of it. So you can go from too little stress, where you have my little thing is in the way, where you have an underload, where again, you're inactive, you're laid back. You can go from there to optimum stress or too much stress, where you're overloaded to the point that you're becoming fatigued to exhaustion, and then burnout, where there's anxiety, panic, anger, and breakdown. Again, stress is a cycle. And there is a positive cycle of stress, and there is a negative cycle of stress. This is the positive cycle of stress, where you have positive behavioral response, where you are able to have decreased stress symptoms. You have improved mood, beneficial thoughts, relaxation by doing self-talk. That is a positive cycle of stress. And then we have the negative stress cycle, where you have automatic thoughts of negativity, which kicks into negative mindset, negative moods, negative emotions, maladaptive behavior, where you're not so easy to adapt to situations, or you can have negative physical symptoms with this negative cycle of stress. So most of the time when we hear the word stress, we're generally thinking of distress. Great pain, anxiety, or sorrow, some acute physical or mental suffering, some type of affliction or trouble. So that being said, I just wanted to share some examples of distress. The death of a loved one, it can be a troubled relationship, whether that be a breakup of divorce, unemployment, financial constraints, sleeping problems, social distancing. Some people get stressed when it's time to give a speech or presentation, and that is very wrongly spelled. And then there is chronic pain that can be stemming from distress. So the level can be very high when it comes to stress. But I just want to share some quotes with you. Now, stress can be occasional or it can be chronic. And there are some things that you learn best in calm and some in storm. A little occasional stress is good. It's an energy boost. Again, it can help you achieve your goals. And then the chronic stress, that can be the short and the long-term health consequences that arrive from that. They can present with permanently compromisations for your health, and it can actually accelerate aging when you stay in the state of chronic stress, because you're staying in that fight or flight mode in that sympathetic state where things are just very stressful. So is this you? Have you ever been in the state where you're tired, you have a short fuse, you're frustrated, your blood pressure is up, you're overwhelmed, you're angry for no reason, high blood sugar, brain fog, memory loss, weight gain or trouble releasing weight, anxiety, mood swings, or just plain out fatigued? Also, if there's been some presentations of atherosclerosis, chronic fatigue, hypertension, the migraines, acne, the hives, the depression, the sleep deprivation, or eating disorders. I mentioned earlier that as a young girl, I had an extreme case of eczema dermatitis. And as I got older and I began my journey to help my body to heal, I learned that my body was actually suppressing some anger. I didn't realize that all of those times that my peers made fun of me, picked at me, that was actually affecting my body negatively. And even back before that, I realized that I've questioned my mother tremendously about familial things, but it actually stemmed also from familial things that occurred even before I came here. So my body, for whatever reason, it was housed in my body and it expressed itself through my skin. So over time, I've had to learn how to work diligently with my liver to have skin that is not expressing eczema. So with all those things that are expressed, the effects of stress, the chronic stress, and not taking time to relax and relieve those things can actually affect your brain cells, and you just literally want to get away from it. So the effects of stress, they're whack. So this person says, let's get out of here. So how do you do all of that? So with having the expressions expressed through our body, our mind, our emotions, and even our behaviors, how do we get rid of or reset when we have stressful events? So I have what I call the stress reset system, and it's with dealing with five R's. So let's go through these. So the five R's are, we have to recognize. And then we have two resets. My first reset is to search and rescue. And we're going to talk a little bit more about these here in just a moment. So the first one is search and rescue. And then the second reset is what I call a casting party. And then the next R is restore. And then the fifth one is reclaim. And that entails the stress reset system. So let's talk about each of these R's. So the first R is recognize. And in this system, this particular phase of the system, we want to identify our stressors. Now, because we are a multifaceted three-part being person, we have to identify whether our stressor is a spiritual stressor, a physical stressor, or a soul stressor, which actually affects our mental state as well, our mind. So we need to take a very good investigative look to see which part of our being is stressed the most and work with that. I have found that in working with my clients, whether or not they come with me with the challenge of energy or trouble sleeping, of weight loss resistance, usually it's going to boil back down to something as far as spiritual and that they are not aware of or have suppressed over time. It can be stemming usually from their childhood, from a trauma. And a trauma can be a different thing for different people. It doesn't have to be a car accident. It can be an event, like we said. It can be an event that occurred and that was traumatic to them. So, and that is something that has never been released. So you must identify the stressor, whether it be a spiritual, a physical, a soul, or a mental stressor. So we take out the microscope, ask lots of questions, look at everything that we can to identify that. So being that I mentioned the spiritual part of our beings, now in nursing, we have what is called the North American Nursing Diagnosis Association. And what that system is, it is a system that allows us as nurses to identify, quote-unquote, a nursing diagnosis for patients or clients based on the assessments that we acquire, the information that we acquire when we're talking with them. So when you talk about spiritual, it's not so much a religious belief or a religious practice. It is more so connected with a belief system. So people can have distress in their spiritual being because they may be experiencing a crisis in their faith. It could be a disruption of their belief in God or their higher power, their religion, or their spirituality, and it puts them at risk for an altered sense of harmonious correctedness with all of life in the universe. So it is simply a disharmony in the belief system. Something has occurred, and now the things that this person has believed in for so long is shattered. and it has just gotten them out of balance. So it is very stressful. In traditional Chinese medicine, our particular organ systems are correlated with an emotion. And so being that I talked about the skin issue and the liver is correlated with the emotion of anger. The kidneys are correlated with the emotion of fear. Our hearts are correlated with the worry. Our lungs are correlated with grief. So if you can kind of look at how these are spiritual distresses, it has attacked our belief system. When we harbor these type things, they can affect our actual physical body and be expressed. So spiritual distress is something that I look at very closely when I'm working with a client, because if the spiritual distress is not resolved, it makes it very challenging to go forth to help with the physical or even their mental challenges that they are seeking help for. So when it comes to identifying the stressors, you have to know how the stressor feels in you, whether it's affecting your mind, your soul, your body, or your spirit. You have to know how it feels so that when it is appearing, you know how to avoid that stressor and you know how to manage that stress response and transform it into the eustress, the good stress, and not the distress. So our next R is reset. And the first part of the reset is search and rescue. And this, what I mean by is, what is the reason for your expressing? If your body is expressing an imbalance in the blood sugar, if your body is expressing problems digestion, if your body is expressing brain fog, what is the reason for this expression? So I like to look at this like the bucket theory. What's filling your bucket? Over time, your bucket may have a little bit at the bottom and you're fine. You have other stressors that come along and your bucket just keeps filling. And over time, your bucket gets full. So the size of your bucket doesn't change, but the things that you're experiencing and not able to resolve, it fills up your bucket. So over time, you have this valve that gets clogged or it needs to be open so that you can release this. This valve may get stuck depending on what your stressor is. And so you have these triggers and these situations and the stress. So now it's overflowing. So what's filling your bucket? What has you under pressure? What is the issue? So we do this search and rescue. We identify things that were very impactful in your life. Again, that can be childhood. It can be something that happened in your teen years, your college years, whatever. We do a search and rescue to find out the reason, getting to the root cause of why your body is expressing what it's expressing. So that is that reset. And so the second part of reset is we have a casting party. And the reason I call this a casting party is because this is actually the time when we have recognized and we have actually done our search and our rescue, and we have come to the terms and to acknowledgement that we need to release it. We need to get rid of it. We need to let it go. So we have a casting party. I have actually had people to stand in the front of the mirror and just verbally release what they were holding on to. I have recommended to people to go play in the dirt just to relieve stress, or to go literally throw rocks, or to go outside and to just yell and scream, but to release whatever you found in search and rescue, to let it go. Even journaling is helpful to let things go. Writing is very powerful. So whatever you need to do to cast it away, have a casting party, get rid of it, let it go, release it. And the reason I want to go back just a minute, the reason that I put this to appear like a young girl is because, again, a lot of the things that we hold on to or don't even realize that we're holding on to comes from our childhood, things that we perceive to be a trauma, and we need to release those things. So once we've recognized and we've done our reset of search and rescue, we've done our reset of releasing it. So then we start the process of restoring. And this process affects all of our being, our mind, our body, our spirit, our soul. So we begin to establish habits to take the place of what has been released. So we actually work on mind matters, food matters, rest matters, any matter that is applicable for what we found in the search and rescue that we released. We work on those matters. It can be matters of the heart. It can be matters of relationship. Whatever the matter is, we work on it. If the matter is a physical issue, then we work on physical issues. If the matter is a digestive issue, then we start there. And we do what I call is we work from the ground up. We actually work through the ground and we reseed it, so to speak, with goodness so that it can help our body process what we take in and so that we can make it usable fuel so that it can be a good service for us. And another way that I look at food is it's not just what we eat, what we put in our bodies. As far as food, it's what we see, what we hear. It's what surrounds us in our environment. That is food to our being. So we have to be cognizant of what we're eating, what food we're eating, physical food, visual food, auditory food, sensory food, because it affects our whole being, it affects our mind, and it affects our rest, our being able to release and to reset. So once we've done those five R's, then we go through the process of putting it all together just for the individual, creating a routine, and customized plan of recommendations to help them to be able to maintain all of this reset and release that you've partaken of. So it is individualized for you. And if that means we need to work on more of the spiritual side before we work on the physical side, we do that. If we need to work more on the mindset side, then we do that. So it's just the reclaiming your life. So what is possible for you when it comes to stress reset? You can feel good in your body and confident in your appearance. You can be feeling full and present for your loved ones. You can get your brain back to focus and clear so you can skyrocket your success. So all that said, let's talk about the stress reset system and let's go from distress to de-stress. Distress to de-stress. So stress should be a powerful driving force, not an obstacle. It should be a powerful driving force, not an obstacle. If you remember in the beginning, the original meaning of stress has to do with an obstacle, something that impedes, something that keeps you from moving forward. But stress should be a powerful driving force, not an obstacle. So sometimes you're, yes, ma'am. Did you say something? Okay. Sometimes our perception determines whether our stress is good or bad. So it can be something as simple as a job. You can look at it as something painful or something new. Wow, this is going to be exciting. I'm finally getting to do what I want to do. I'm finally getting to do a job that is not just a job, but a ministry. So it is perception determines whether it's good or bad. So I want you to have a change of mindset. So don't think of stress as a threat or a demoralizer or overwhelming or debilitating. Don't focus on problems. Don't fight stress. What I encourage you to do is to think of stress as a challenge, a motivator, an opportunity that allows you to be able to manage what events that occur in your life and to be energetic while doing that, to be able to focus on possibilities. So embracing stress. So the change of the mindset. So now we are about to enter a stress-free zone. So let's do some de-stressing. How you start your day is how you're going to live your day. And how you live your day is the way you live your life. So in the mornings, I have a routine that I awaken. I have a gratitude session. And then I have a little bit of devotional session where I will actually read a familiar passage of scripture or a saying that is just I'm compelled to read or quote that day. So I start my day that way. And I like to do it early in the morning because it seems to me that if you wait a little bit when the sun starts to come up, it seems like the atmosphere changes. So if you set your day before the sun comes up, it actually seems to go smoother. At least it does for me. It seems like once the sun comes up, either the phone starts to ring or someone comes to the door. And I just like to do that first thing in the morning. And I actually don't even turn my phone on or do anything electronic until after I have set my day. Another thing to do as far as de-stress is to remember one small positive thought in the morning can change your whole day. One small positive thought can change your whole day. So just a few quick tips about resetting from stress is to be realistic. Set limits, but be realistic. And don't try to be a superhero. Ask for help when you need it. It is perfectly fine to recognize that you can't do everything yourself or by yourself and ask for help when it is needed. Take one thing at a time. So if you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed because there's a lot of tasks to do, pick one that's urgent and do it. Do one thing at a time. Take baby steps. It's better to take baby steps than to just stop. It's better to take a baby step than to get into that stress where there's no enthusiasm, no movement whatsoever, no stimuli, no feeling. And one other thing to do when you're actually resetting from stress is to go easy on the criticism. I know for me, for myself, I can be very hard on myself. So I have to not be a perfectionist and not set expectations too high for myself or allow others to set expectations too high for me because you don't want to set yourself up to fail. You don't want other people to set you up to fail. So go easy on the criticism. Always commend yourself for the positive things, even if it's just that you woke up this morning and you gave gratitude for one thing. See that as a positive and don't criticize yourself if you don't get other things done that you would have liked to do. And also share your feelings. It is great that we have this community atmosphere, that we can stay in touch with one another, and that we can still do it even right now, because this is a place where you can be open to know that you're in a safe environment, you can be supported, and you can receive guidance. So share your feelings. So right now, if there happens to be any stress at all, right now, tell yourself or say it out loud, I'm releasing the stress and the worry to focus on what feels good, speaking positive things. And then just picture yourself, do some heart math, take a mini vacation. Wherever your special place is of calm, take a mini vacation and relax. My calm place is actually the mountains. I love to be in the mountains. I love to get up early in the morning to watch the smoke come off of the mountains. It's just so calming and so relaxing for me. So whatever your calm place is, just take a few minutes. Anytime you sense that your body is going into the negative distress, and just relax. And just be there in that calm place. And tell yourself, I'm free from tension, stress, and strain. So let's talk a little bit more about reset. Reset is releasing events, snatching energy and talent. So we can do any of these things that are here. We can slow down. We can keep calm. We can be positive. We can take it easy. We can unplug. We can just enjoy life and have fun. Have fun. Above all, breathe. I was driving to work one day, it was about 2 years ago, and I realized that as I was driving, I realized that I wasn't breathing. I'm driving, and you know how you hold your breath sometimes and don't realize it. I was actually holding my breath because I was tense. It was traffic. I'm going to be late for work. I have a client coming in, and I'm stuck in traffic, and I'm holding my breath. The moment I realized that I wasn't taking breaths that were effective for me and began to do that, a calm came over me. A relaxation came over me. And I was able to refocus and unplug and just know that everything was going to be fine. Irregardless of what had taken place prior to my drive, everything was going to be fine. One of the other things that helps to release is to go outside. Although we are communicating lots now by social interaction virtually, going outside is very important. Getting some sun, getting some vitamin D, relaxing your eyes from the computer screen, that actually helps you to relieve stress. And smiling. Oh, smiling is so huge. It is so calming and so relieving, and it allows your body to release those natural endorphins, those feel-good hormones. So release, smile. And then meditate. Whatever your meditation is, whether that be sitting in a yogic position, whether it be praying, whether it just be listening to something help guide you to meditate, take the time to release events that are snatching energy and talent. Some of the things to do as far as good stress management is take part in a hobby. One of my hobbies is to do crossword puzzles, and I like to do crossword puzzles to see how fast I can complete a puzzle. It's a game to me, and that's relaxing to me. There are some people who like to do the secret words. I like to do Sudoku sometimes. So whatever your hobby is, take part in that. One of my other hobbies is I like to get on my zero-turn lawnmower and mow the grass. I just have this thing that it's similar to a go-kart, and it goes fast, and I can get out there and feel free. So whatever your hobby is, engage in your hobby. Do whatever will make you laugh, even if it's watching a funny movie. Make sure that you laugh. Have fun with some friends. Play some music, some exciting music. Dance around the house. Sing. Manage your time the best as possible. Have a routine of how you interact or take part in your day. Exercise. Get out in nature. And again, meditate. Those are some good stress management techniques. And again, I said breathe. Take the time to really make sure that we're deep breathing, using our diaphragm, allowing our lungs to get filled full to allow the oxygen to circulate throughout our bodies and to energize our cells and not have pent up oxidative stress. So breathe, taking deep breaths and just relaxing, and allowing the calm to come over you. Calm the mind with affirmations for a peaceful mind and life. So you want to mind your mind, and that gets into the mind matters. And then when it comes to our physical bodies, we definitely want to make sure that we're eating clean and chewing well. That reduces stress when we are eating foods that are not promoting inflammation in our body, but they are promoting the systems in our body to relieve toxins and to be nourished, and it's just reducing. So eat the best that you can and leave the rest. One of my clients, we do periodic check-ins, and so I wanted to know from what we had done so far, what was the biggest takeaway that she has gathered from our time together. And she said she never recognized the value of chewing well. We had a conversation about chewing well, and then 2 weeks later when we had a conversation, she had really focused on that, and she had actually lost 5 pounds within 2 weeks. And she attributed because she was chewing so well. She was really being mindful of chewing her food because she hadn't changed anything else. Good hydration is very good to relieve stress. And of course, we want to make sure that we at least drink half of our weight in ounces of water a day, or some green juice or something of that nature, staying hydrated throughout the day, so that we can flush our system, promote the toxins to be removed from our body, so that our cells will have oxygen to carry. So it's one of the best things to do is drink water, and it has no calories. And good sleep. Have a sleep ritual so that you can at least get 6 hours. 8 is preferable, or more is preferable, so that your body can go through its process of detoxifying and cleansing. Preferably be in bed by 10 p.m. Give your liver and your gallbladder time to do its best work between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. Your lungs 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. And then when you wake up in the morning, allow your body to release those toxins that it has worked so hard to process and get out of our bodies. So good sleep. So this is one of my favorite things to do, to know about, that anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Remember, we are a spirit, we live in a body, we have a soul. What we carry on in our soul affects our mind. So we don't want to harbor anxiety because it can lead to depression. So speaking words, good words, positive affirmation is very helpful. Words are containers for power. You choose what kind of power they can carry. They are very powerful. So mind your words. Mind your mind. Mind your words. It's not stress that kills us. It's our reaction to it. It's not stress that kills us. It's our reaction to it. So what we think, we are. So our thoughts, our beliefs, and our feelings, they determine what we believe. Our beliefs determine how we feel, and our feelings influence how we're going to act. So you can't live a positive life with a negative mind. What we think, we are. So minding our mind, minding our words, and minding our mouth. So we want to let your smile change the world, but don't let the world change your smile. So today, keep it simple. Breathe. Be royal, excellent, affirming truth eternally. And that is the stress reset system in a nutshell. So we want to recognize, we want to reset by doing a search and rescue. We want to reset by having a casting party. We want to reset by restoring. We want to reset by reclaiming, simply because we're releasing events, snatching energy and talent. And that is my presentation.
Wow, beautiful job, Valerie. That was so full of content. There was so much there. And I love how thorough that was, that you really went through so many of the important pieces, looking at the whole being, right? Not mm-hmm. just the body, not just the mind, but the spirit, the soul. So really beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wondering, I'd love to open it up to any comments or questions that anybody has before I go in. I have a few questions I'll ask, but I'd love to open it up to the floor. Anybody out there have anything to ask Valerie? Go ahead and unmute yourself and just go ahead and ask a question. All right, nothing immediately. So Valerie, one of the things I love that you talked about, perception, right? It's not the stress itself, it's how we respond to it. How we respond to it is based on our perception of it. So what are your favorite tools for helping people shift their perception?
Well, first of all, really, and that's because it's personal to me, is breathing. Really breathing and just calming the mind first. And I like to have what is called a global view of things. So when we perceive things, the first thing I have people do is after taking that calm is to think, is this going to be helpful or is this going to be harmful? Am I perceiving this? Is my perception real or is my perception not real? So to help people perceive differently, it's just really getting them to take calm. To take calm. So many times people say stay calm. Usually when you're trying to say that, people aren't calm, but I encourage them to take calm. And I have a little acronym for calm, and that's cleansing actions leading to mindfulness. Be mindful. Be cognizant about responding instead of reacting, because you're what you perceive to be a threat may not be a threat. Take the time to take a moment to be still and to look, to and evaluate before you allow that perception to be a harmful perception. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I totally agree, because as you all know, I'm a trauma therapist. So I work with people that has had a lot of, especially early childhood trauma. And when that happens, we're set up in these patterns of response, defensive, responsive mm-hmm. patterns. So like you said, often we're triggered by things that we're perceiving to be a threat, but it might not actually be a threat. Mm-hmm. And so what we have to do is then take a minute and calm down and let our bodies shift from our trauma response or our stress response into our cognitive thinking brain, right? That neocortex, which can have those realistic kind of reasoning perception, so we can reason and ask ourselves, is it really true? Mm-hmm. But that stress, like you talked about in the very beginning, the amygdala and the hypothalamus get hijacked, and we're pulled into the emotion and the overwhelm instead of being able to use our reasoning skills. Mm-hmm. So my technique is very similar, slow down and take some breath so you yes. can shift into your reasoning brain instead of staying stuck in what I call the lizard brain, right? That reptilian brain that's only worried about survival. Mm-hmm. All that part of our brain is worried about, and the automatic responses of survival can hijack us. So I love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Slow down and so. Breathe.
Yes.
Make
yes.
a choice to respond appropriately from your reasoning brain instead of reacting. And I think right now many of us are in a reactionary mode because we are in a strange situation right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. 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 Yes. Yes. So, and just like I said that morning, it was so powerful. That morning I was taking a drive to work. And I just realized that I wasn't breathing. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Calm down. Everything is fine. And I don't even at this point remember what was happening that morning that I was so out of sorts. But I was out of sorts and I was not breathing because I could feel my body tensing. And I could not figure out what in the world was going on until I just, another part of your being just says, you're not breathing. You're not breathing. Take some deep breaths. And my drive was like a 20-minute drive. And I'm like, am I not breathing this whole time? Mm. So you have to just calm down. And whatever the event is, see what the reality is and not what you think it is.
Right. And in the transpersonal energy healing work, we teach kind of a three-step trauma response. And the reason that that's helpful to calm down, right, and to let your body see. So breathing will help your nervous system by the vagus nerve calming down into the parasympathetic mm-hmm. response, right? But then there's also look around to show your nervous system, tell your nervous system can see there's not a tiger right here, mm-hmm. right? Your nervous system is heightened and stressed and overwhelmed. Once you recognize that, take some breaths and look around to show your nervous system the tiger mm-hmm. is not right here. We call that orientating to the present moment, which you were able to do on your drive to work. Go, wait a
yes.
minute. Here, I'm not even breathing. I'm reacting and there's nothing wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or there's nothing I can do about it. There might be something wrong in the world right now, but to shift out of that lizard brain response that's overwhelmed into your logical reasoning brain to say, okay, this might be happening, but I'm okay right this second. And what can I do something about versus what I can't do anything about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
we have some great comments here. Lynn says it's a great reminder of what cleanses in our body when we get to sleep no later than 11.
Absolutely. I tried to instill that. Now, normally, like I said, I went to sleep last night with the Wi-Fi on. Normally, my body likes to be in bed by 9:30. It doesn't always happen, but 9:30, come 9 o'clock, I'm shutting down mode. So, but I can tell a difference personally when I make myself stay up past 11 o'clock. It just feels different when I wake up in the mornings, because it doesn't feel like my body got its sufficient time to do its work. So I do encourage my clients and family members to try to be in bed at least by 11 o'clock. 10 I would prefer, but that doesn't happen. But it's amazing how when you're in tune with your body, when you get out of that routine, you can feel the stress taking place. I actually feel it in my gut. I literally feel it in my gut. I know when I have exceeded my routine and I have to get back on it. So.
Right. And because we are creatures that live on this planet, that we are part of the rhythm of the planet, and our circadian rhythm will get off when we're not following those natural rhythms. And then that becomes a stressor in our body.
Absolutely.
So that can be disrupting our peace, but also actually causing that stress response in the body just from something as simple as staying up too late.
Definitely. And then of course, when we stay up too late, then that gets us out of whack and it can impact our blood sugar and promote inflammation and getting us in that spiral. Because if we are, I have recommended to people different situations that they're having, like, don't get blood work now because it's not going to be good. Do not get it right now because your body is going to express that through your blood work. So, but it can get the blood sugar out of whack. And I see Lynn wrote something over there about our blood sugar tends to be higher if we sleep later and don't allow our bodies to rest and cleanse, even our brains. So my familial history on both sides I've learned has a tendency towards blood sugar imbalances. So that's one of the reasons that I try to be in bed by 9:30 so that I can have some good sleep because I don't want to be diabetic.
Right. Let's see what other comments we have here. So Lynn reminds us again that how important it is to pay attention, not only the food you're eating, what time you're eating, listening, what you're listening to, what you're doing when you're eating, what your blood sugar tends to be higher if we sleep later. Yeah, absolutely. And then Lynn DeBar-Johnson saying she's doing a liver cleanse right now, recognizing the subtle stress as it shows up in our blood sugar readings, right? Blood sugar readings are a great way for us to get a sense of what stress is happening internally, because we might not be consciously aware of our stress because we're either used to it, it feels normal to us, or we're in a pattern where we don't even recognize our own stress. So blood sugar is a great way to determine if there's a stressor happening in your world.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Let's see. Any other questions? I really love, you give so many options for people on how they can manage stress with looking at things, not just the diet, not what supplements to take, but looking at fun, looking at all the foundations that we work with in Dr. Rita Marie's program, right? The fun is so important. Nature, breathing, things that don't cost anything.
Absolutely.
And now we have time, right? There's no excuse to not take advantage of nature right now, right? We have the time to put into some of these foundations. And I found in my own work with my clients is that those foundational things are much more effective in resolving the old stress patterns than some of the easy, take a supplement, change your, you know, don't eat sugar. Some of those things are not as long-term effective mm-hmm. as the foundational work. And those things are free.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's see. Anything else? Was so thorough. There was so much information in there, Valerie. And I love your system. It's very, very similar to the system that I use in my practice with my trauma clients. So I really love that the number one thing is to recognize and be aware. Many yes. of us stuck in stress or patterns of trauma don't even recognize that we're responding to the world from a stressed place because we're such in a habit of being stressed, right? And mm-hmm. it's a normal thing for many of us to be stuck in a stress pattern and we don't even know we're doing it.
Yeah.
I love that being the number one thing is once we start to recognize it, then we can make some changes.
Yes, definitely, definitely, definitely.
Right. Meditation and prayer is your go-to.
Yeah, that's my go-to.
Yeah. And what do you tell people that have a hard time with meditation, that feel like they can't sit still or they can't manage their thoughts?
That's a good question. If people, because I consider myself to be a more spiritual person than most people that I talk with. So if they're having challenges meditating, I just really would ask them what they like. If it's music, turn on some music, whatever music you like, if that's going to calm you. And let that be your meditation or just take a walk, just look at nature. So I just kind of turn their attention to what they like and have them to calm within that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who don't meditate, or I can recommend one of the meditation guidance things. But again, that's not something most people are going to do. I have worked, in my experience, have worked with a lot of females who are more spiritual than the males are, so it's easier for females. It just seems to be easier for females in general. But usually if it's a male, like I'll give you a good example. My brother, he's not going to sit still long enough to actually sit and meditate. But if you tell him to go outside and focus on some landscaping stuff, that's his time to calm. That's his type of meditation. So flipping it for that for him, and then he will calm down so quickly and he will be in such a mode of effectiveness. It is just unbelievable. So just getting them where they are and helping them start to go a different way, but within what they like.
Right. Something that resonates with them, that they yes. enjoy. Yeah, yes. I like that. And I think it's helpful. I help my clients that are struggling with that to teach them how to just watch themselves. It's really an internal process.
Yes.
The meditation, whether it's prayer, whether it's some kind of breathing technique, whether it's a guided meditation, I think it's the important thing is that they're going internally. We're so
Absolutely.
Externally focused, right? We're so focused on the external environment that I think it's important for us to learn how to be able to tune in. What is our internal environment? And so for somebody like that, he's comfortable outside in nature. Mm-hmm. That gives him the space to go inside and be able to tune into that internal place. And right now, I think that's an important skill to help everyone with, is how can I be okay internally despite what's happening outside, right? Despite what's happening in the world with this virus or with our finances or with bickering with our partners at home because we're home more than we used to be with them. How can we learn to be okay internally despite everything that's happening around us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. One of the other things that I find myself recommending to clients frequently, most people take showers instead of baths. but I recommend them taking the bath and actually having some aromatherapy and to let that calm them. Just take a nice warm bath and just relax and just really be still and to center themselves. And some, the ones who have done that have found great, great benefit from it. So.
Right. Actually, essential oils are a great tip. I'm so glad you brought that up because it's one of the fastest ways to get to our nervous system is through scent. So it's a wonderful solution if you're feeling overwhelmed and you can't seem to calm it down. That aromatherapy is very effective.
Absolutely.
In into our nervous system, really, it bypasses our mental processing. And I think that mental processing is what keeps many of us from feeling calm inside. And so becoming the witness, just allowing yourself to watch what's happening is a trick because then we kind of detach from what's actually happening. Mm-hmm. We're watching. The more you can watch what's happening, the more you're identified with yourself as a watcher.
Yes.
The one that's the victim of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found also, as you have, that aromatherapy can be so helpful in letting somebody shift from that overwhelm into a calmer place without using the brain to try and calm you down, but mm-hmm. let the scent calm the body down.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And water too, like you said, in the bathtub, the water is fantastic way for many of us really resonate with being in the water or near the water. And if that's the case, that's a great tool to get
it
you
is.
Sympathetic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. So we have some more, meditation. Lynn says she focuses on sensations of deep breathing, listening to Insight Timer that has over 40,000 guided meditation. Okay, I've never heard of that one, Insight Timer. Okay, that sounds good. My mind is busy. Just be patient. Right, yeah, just watching yourself, just sitting and watching the thoughts. Don't try and make the thoughts go away, right? Just watch what they are. Be the watcher. Great. Well, do you have any, if there's no more questions or comments for Valerie, I'll let her leave us with any closing remarks.
Well, thank you for letting me present. It's been a journey to get to this. I know I've seen comments about my being calm. It's taken a journey to get to be calm, but it is doable. And I just encourage you, despite what we're all experiencing right now, is to continue to stay focused. I have a thing that I share with my church family is to continue to reach, meaning don't stop where you are. Don't let what is taking place stop you in reaching your goals. So continue to reach, continue to stretch, to continue to connect and stay focused. Don't be in tunnel vision. Stay focused on what you know that you are sent here to do and keep working the process to accomplish your goals. So reach, stretch, connect, and stay focused and live the stress-free lifestyle.
Wow, you are so inspiring. So inspiring. And your energy and it... and your passion and your dedication to bringing your message to the world is so beautiful. And I'm just so grateful to get to be in your presence today and to get your knowledge and have you share that with all of us. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, last chance to ask any questions or make any comments. All right. Well, thank you so much. And thank you all for joining us for this presentation. It was so much. I'm looking forward to having it up and the replay up so that we can go through all that again, because you unpacked so much there, Valerie, with so many great tools. I'll definitely be watching that again. So thank you all very much.
Thank
Have
you.
Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wonderful job, Valerie.
Oh, thank you. Did I talk too fast?